Hello, my name is Andy O'Neill, and thank you for watching Weblytica TV. I'm joined today by Dave Parrish. Dave used to own a construction company, but about 7 years ago, left the construction business and started learning low-code development tools and databases. Dave has been a low-code developer ever since. Dave is passionate about helping companies become more efficient, optimize workflows, and solve data problems. You can check out more about Dave's company, NAC Builders, at nacbuilders.com. Also, check out his David Parrish YouTube channel, where he shares tips, functionality, and experiences with the NAC database platform. Welcome, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's start with this. I know you're a digital nomad, and so I'd love to kind of start with that and tell us where you are right now as a part of that.
I'm in Mexico City, sitting at the terrace of a co-working space in the city. I'll try to show you. It's a typical co-working space. Now, as digital nomads go, I'm a lightweight. I just take work retreats. There's lots of folks that just keep on going one place to the other. I like to go maybe every 6 months for a month or two someplace. I was in Ecuador for actually 3 months earlier this year, but I was planning on two, but the day my return flight home was to occur, a volcano went off and ash fell on the airport and closed it, and the airline couldn't get me back for a month, and I was just fine with that. I went to the beach. So as you mentioned, I used to own a construction company for a long time, which really, you know, there was some good times there, but you know, if you have 20 employees and high maintenance type of thing, like construction related stuff, you are wed to it. Getting away is not a possibility. That was sort of one of the requirements when I finally got out of that, that I wanted to do something on the internet where I had more freedom. And eventually I found NAC. We can probably get into it. Some of the keys to digital nomad for whoever's interested in, there's a lot of places all around the world that are hot spots for it. And I've been going to Latin America, one reason, because I've known it from before. I speak a little Spanish, but it's on a similar time zone. Even though I have clients all over the world, just setting up meetings, when you're in a whacked out time zone, you could be having it in the middle of the night. But the keys to going someplace for a digital nomad is there has to be co-working spaces. Co-working spaces are great. You can't be in your Airbnb place all day long. You go crazy. And you have to have good internet. Low cost of living is even better. Mexico City is really, I mean, it's a really cosmopolitan, cultured city, but it's pretty inexpensive here. And then I always, myself, like to have a bicycle. So you arrange to get a bike. My Airbnb host got me one. That helps a lot. And then find a favorite coffee shop to finish out the day in. That's what I'll do after this meeting. I'll have another couple hours. And then every time I take one of these trips, I mean, it's a convenient excuse to get away. I call it a work retreat. Some of my friends just think I'm crazy. But I always have some overriding business goal. Earlier this year when I went to Ecuador, I was really focusing on learning the new builder that was coming out, because everyone was procrastinating on that. And also working on my business instead of in it, some administrative marketing business type stuff to make my practice run smoother. Back home, you always have a list of things you want to get to, and a year goes by and you don't get to them. Well, this is one of my ways to getting to those. This particular trip, my focus is learning Integromat, which I'm a little bit behind the curve on that. So that's my digital nomad story.
So it kind of,
you guys should try it if you can.
So it kind of creates some margin and some space to say, I'm going to do something different when it's hard to get up and go to your home office that you go to every day and try to do something different.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a mini adventure.
Right.
I mean, I actually work more when I go on these because I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone in the city. And in the part of the city I am, it's not the hipster part of the city. If I was in that part, I'd probably find a lot of Americans and I could speak up conversations. I have intermediate Spanish, but someone who speaks no English at all or has no appreciation that someone's trying to learn and trying to speak with you with hand gestures, pick their words correctly, speak slower. Where I am, there isn't any, I mean, there's no English, hardly any English speaking here. The only English I speak during the day is on my conference calls. So there's, you know, you have to be cut out for that. If you need to be around people all the time talking, which I know plenty of people, this could be challenging. But I was saying, I end up working more because of that situation. I try to dedicate probably 2/3 of the day just to my normal project work, building stuff, building apps, having conference calls, and the rest of the third, in this case, on the projects I'm trying to learn. And sometimes it works out like that, sometimes it doesn't. And then on your off time, where I'd be home cutting the grass or doing whatever, I'd take side trips. I went on a taco street food tour, a mezcal tasting tour, a mole cooking class. I'll load up with those. And by the way, Airbnb makes it easy, and it's not all that expensive either. Whatever you want to do, just a couple clicks, you got a place, you got a tour if you want to go on, or you can learn stuff. That's the skinny there.
So I guess you brought up, you know, mowing grass. Like, I guess, you know, really these trips are an expense on top of your existing rent or mortgage, and somebody's going to have to mow the grass when you're gone. Like, there's some kind of logistics there to make sure, you know, where you live is okay while you're gone for 2 or 3 months, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of it. I don't have a complicated domestic life. My girlfriend will take care of the grass. We have 3 acres, but we have a nice rider mower, and she likes it. So yeah, a little bit. You know, and these financial wise, these trips cost money, obviously. But when you're down here, and you still have some of the normal expenses, but when you're at home, you're going to restaurants, you're doing this, you have whatever your daily expenses are outside of your fixed expenses. When you go to one of these type of places, cost of living's a lot less. So just going out to eat groceries or whatever cost you less. So I haven't figured out the math. I imagine I could, but there's some sort of net benefit. What I would have spent on doing those type of things at home, I spend less at doing here, which if I had my flight, my apartment, I don't know, that's sort of, there's again, net benefit to it. And by the way, Mexico City, $364 round trip from Detroit, direct flight, less than 4 hours.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
So let's talk about a little bit about, you talked about the new builder. The new building you're referring to is on the NAC platform. Let's talk about NAC a little bit. How did you get started? I know you transitioned from construction to NAC. And kind of tell us your NAC story.
When I got out of my business, I was hired as a consultant for a large property management company that had maybe 20 sites, a few thousand apartment units. And each of these sites had their own maintenance staff that was required, you know, fixing toilets or whatever. But one of their main requirements too was when someone moved out of an apartment, we call it a unit turn, they had to go assess what needed to be done, change the carpet, paint, cabinets, whatever. It's like a mini construction job. Well, each of their local site people or maintenance staff would try to handle that. And it was always sort of on the back burner. They were too busy catching up on day-to-day fires they had to put out. And what the management company wanted done was to sort of create their own mini construction company that was centralized, have a few crews that their only job was unit turns. That's all they focused on. And since I had experience doing that exact same thing, so they hired me to, and some other folks to set that up, which I did. And for that to work, though, we needed some sort of central cloud-based tracking of things. We would, you know, track what stage the unit is in, what priority it was, how much needed to be done, what the cost was, what the time was to do it. All the stuff you would measure if you're running a business. And so software came up. I started looking for software. And if you look for construction project management software, I mean, you can find all kinds of stuff, but most of it was way too complicated. We didn't need them and too expensive. Something in the middle didn't exist. And then you were left with a spreadsheet. And I'm like, after an exhaustive search, I'm like, I just thought of it. I said, in this day and age, there's got to be some tool out there that I can build my own. And I started searching for, whatever keywords you would find. I initially found NotNAC. It was another one, and started building it out. And I was amazed at how easy it was. I give this story. I mean, it was like an epiphany. To me, it's like when Gutenberg invented movable type and allowed knowledge to go to the masses. And it was, you know, Time magazine voted him the guy of the millennium, the most important thing that has happened in 1,000 years. And that really changed society. This is the same thing. And I think NAC, or the industry calls it citizen developer, it gives them the tools to automate their own processes. Now, of course, if it's really complicated or they don't have the time, they're going to hire builders like whoever, like me. I mean, this is a dramatic shift in how knowledge is going to, and how fast things can happen. I mean, I'm a real advocate of it. So, but I eventually turned to NAC because we ended up, the project I was on needed a lot of users. And I realized the platform I initially was trying out charged by users, and it wasn't going to work. So I started searching around more, found NAC, and not only did it check that box off, because they don't charge for users, which is a really nice deal, it ended up being a lot easier to build in too. And ever since then, after that project, I was referred to something else. I started hustling the NAC Builder Network, and in a very short time, I was overwhelmed with work. So that's sort of my NAC story.
That's cool. Well, I think another benefit to it of a platform like this is I kind of have this hit by a bus philosophy. If I get hit by a bus, what can my clients do next? And I think it's a little easier for another NAC builder to pick up a NAC account and work on it than if it was a custom coded thing that they would have to spend hours to pore over and see, you know, what did the programmer do? I think that the handoff is a lot easier too when you use these tools.
I agree too. And I, with all respect to those custom coders out there, I mean, they can do fabulous things. It gets in the way. I have an idea. I want to implement it. With NAC, the person can do it. With code, I have an idea. I need to search for a coder if you don't have like a staff of them. And then, you know, I'm not classifying them as a whole group. There's tons of great coders out there. But if it's something small, it's just hard finding them. It's hard keeping them. They may be ghosted on you. And again, with the speed of knowledge, that transition that you just talked about is part of that. It can be handed off. Or I have tons of projects that are, I just call them project takeovers. And it just is faster and less expensive. Now, some of the wonderful things to be done with custom code, even within NAC, and I've never been a big custom coder, but I've seen, especially, you know, I don't know if you deal with this too, but, or observe, just a few months ago when NAC started this new community Slack group stuff, prior to that, I was hardly in contact with other builders. I didn't even know how many were out there. Sort of, I got wind of this or that, but this community thing they started, I know lots of them now. That's how I know you. I refer them. I see what they're doing. I see what I'm not doing. You know, it's, I think that's been, it's really opened me up to a lot of stuff. It's one of the reasons I'm doing Integramat. Now, I, for my own practice, I don't hardly at all do custom code. There's things I'll do that, like, I can change this or I can do that, smaller stuff. I did a YouTube video on a non-coder's guide to custom coding in NAC. So, but not the major stuff. And I don't want to do it. I advise my clients against it. I don't know if that's good or bad, but problems happen. It has to be monitored. Things, if the hit by a bus thing happens, then there's a whole nother problem. When NAC transitioned to the new builder, there was all kinds of problems with those hardcore custom code things. And there were, you know, there was a lot of excitement on our, if we want to call it that, on the builder channels we're on. Hopefully they got past that. But, and at the same time, I rarely say no to a client. I rarely say, no, that can't be done. And I think I build wonderful apps. Some of them are really complicated with the NAC native functionality, and the clients love them. So I don't think I'm missing a big hole with not doing code. But at the same time, I've seen what some of these other builders done, which are incredible. So I'm happy in the niche that I'm in, and hopefully my clients are too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that shared learning that comes with being in these Slack groups and partner groups is really key. Cause like you said, I've seen the way other people do things and I go, huh, I've always done it this other way. I never considered there was another way to do that. And so, you know, typically there's always more than one way to do something. So it's a yeah. community.
And I don't find that we're really competitive with one another, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I don't see it. I've seen a couple of them, some jobs that I know I was bidding on. But it's not that type of environment at all. It's definitely more of a support environment for us than trying to figure out what the other guy's doing, right? And there are, I mean, I don't know NAC's market share. It's not, you know, as big as QuickBase or something for sure. But if you go to, you know, try to get builders on QuickBase, there's going to be a gazillion of them. I don't know how many total NAC builders there are. The ones in our, what do we have, around 20 of us on our group, somewhere around there, that appear to be, you know, largely dedicated to this platform and know stuff very well and take what they're doing seriously. I know there's fringe. I've had several NAC projects which were definitely someone in between jobs, or I think one of them was a high school kid playing around with it and somehow he got a job, but then they're gone. And then, or they just did it completely wrong. And then the client reaches out, finds however they find other folks, and then you come in and save the day. But that's sort of up with that.
Yeah.
How'd you get into it? I want to turn the tables just real quick.
Oh, so I used NAC for the first time in 2013.
You're one of the first dudes, man.
Yeah, it was early. They were like, when they were giving you the option to do like a 30 minute or an hour call, like when you signed up. And like, I had a call with like one of the founders, you know, okay. It was that early on before the team wasn't that deep really at the time. And so I tried it and, you know, I was kind of learning it and stuff. And the guy, I was an employee at the time, and the guy I worked for, he's like, yeah, I'm not confident you'll know how to build this. I want to do something else. I was like, whoa, that was a blow to my ego. So I kind of put NAC away for 2 or 3 years and then picked it up again. And it was, when I started, it was fairly confusing. There was just kind of a day where it clicked on how you build the views and everything and the pages. So maybe I wouldn't have done a good job the first time around, but so I've used it, you know, steady since I think 2016 or so. So I've used it several years.
I had the same experience with it clicking, and when I first started, I didn't know much about databases at all. When I first started building, I didn't even know what logged in user permissions mean? Meaning you can log as a user, log in, and you only see stuff related to you. I remember the first job, I would make a different view. Let's say there were these 20 properties and each manager had to log in. Well, they only wanted to see their own. I didn't understand logged in user permissions. So I made 20 pages, all the same, but filtered by that property's units.
Right.
And sorry, I'm sure that client will not see this video, but that was the complete wrong way to do that.
We'll hope they don't see it.
And that means every time you found a typo, you had to go do it 20 times, right? And I had that, again, another epiphany. It all came together once. And when I figured out logged in user permissions, and I don't know, everything just clicked. And I don't know, exponentially, my knowledge of databases and that functionality just started taking off.
Yeah, and this is a good point to say, you know, if you're starting, if you're like, hey, I want to try NAC, I want to learn it, I want to, you know, if you're going to be a freelancer, say, I want to freelance using NAC, you know, some of the stuff I built 5 years ago, I go back and look at it, and I'm like, holy buckets, this is terrible. I should have done it totally different. Kind of like what you're talking about. So if you're getting started with it and you're new, find a partner and say, hey, can I pay you a few hours to coach me through and kind of get me up and running on a learning curve so I don't build stuff that I have to rebuild a year later?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the way to do it. That's what I'm doing with you, with IntegraMan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave and I have been meeting over the last few weeks, kind of going over some IntegraMan basics and how to use it with NAC.
I finished that scenario, by the way. Created the PDF, and now it automatically inserts it back into the record in NAC.
Oh, nice.
But I have some other questions next time.
Okay. So let's talk about, I know something you're really interested in is sustainable consulting, building a sustainable consulting practice. That's important to you. Tell me about the things you're doing to that end, to build a sustainable practice.
Well, yeah. How to make your business run smooth. You know, you could be the most smartest NAC guy in the world, but you have to have the clients come and go, manage them and all, and make things happen, you know, systemically, both in terms of the flow of your work and the marketing of your work. So that was another thing. When I first started, I thought I was the only guy doing this type of thing. And, you know, when you're years ago, if you said you were a freelancer or a consultant, it probably meant you were in between jobs, right?
Yeah.
Then the millennium started coming and the gig economy, you realize it's a profession and it's a choice. Okay. I do it because first I make good money and second I have a lifestyle that I like. I'm not wed to this manufacturing job or construction related stuff, you know what I mean? So to do that, when I didn't know a lot about it. I ended up hooking up with, by the way, can I use profanity on this?
I guess so. Yeah.
I ended up hooking up. I found them on the internet, a group, a small course that was called How to Be a Freelance Consultant. And I looked at it, I said, this, what they're promoting here are all the stuff So I ended up taking this class, and then there was a Slack group, and we meet every other Thursday type things. And I describe it as the merry band of like-minded fucks. That's who we are. And they all, some of them specialize in Asana, MailChimp, Drupal, Airtable, whatever. We all sort of have our gig, but we're doing our same, you know, we're talking about the business issues, how to price correctly, how to deal with difficult clients, how to anticipate difficult clients, how to communicate. That they're the folks who really encouraged me to start doing YouTube videos. My first one, God, that was horrible. But I've got, I don't know, 40 some of them so far in the last 2 years. I regularly get clients off of them. I'd say more so there. I'm helping people with or training people. I don't know that they're big jobs I land. And as a result, I think I don't even know anything about SEO, but the YouTube videos rank me well on Google. I think if you Google NAC database consultant, I think I'm the first one. I don't know there, but those are things that you consistently work on and over time have a benefit. I'm just plopping out things here. The use, we talked about this the other day, the use of Loom. This group I was in introduced me to Loom, the very quick, easy video recordings absolutely changed the way I did work. When you're explaining a process, when you're sending a ticket to NAC, when you're doing whatever, where you would sit around for 15 minutes trying to compose an email of several paragraphs, which no one likes reading several paragraphs. It takes too much to absorb it. You use the quick Loom video, and it's done. You don't have to set up and find a time to schedule a meeting with your client to show them this. Now, major milestones in your project, you obviously have to do that. But when you're working back and forth, and the clients love it, but there's lots of stuff like that that helps your business move along. And it's, again, working on your business, not the day-to-day working in it. And if it's payment systems or how you get paid, and I've worked with some subcontractors that hired that still only take stuff by PayPal. I guess that's okay, but there's other lots of ways to get paid that are easy. And having all that stuff work behind the scenes, and even automating, you can use IntegraMan, I'm sure, to automate something. I don't know, when I finish a job, a thank you letter goes out, whatever, stuff like that, okay? I think about that a lot, and I really, having a solid framework around the work you do, I don't care if it's, again, Asana, MailChimp, whatever, you consistently work on it, you can have a sustainable business. How no code or NAC will be in 10 years, I don't know. It's got to be a lot different. So there's also that this time you got to spend on what's coming up next or the new tools like IntegraMan, what's going to be important to continue what you're doing. There are some thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if somebody's watching this and they're like, well, I'm not a coder, I'm not a no code person, I just wanted to watch the video and I'm interested and I own a business. I think starting now, and especially in 5 or 10 years, if you don't at least understand some of these tools, maybe you don't build with them, but to understand them and how to and incorporate them into your business, you're going to be way behind the curve, you know, compared to your competitors. So I think it's important to start learning, at least, if not doing it yourself, learning how they work and learning how, you know, the principles of building these things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell me about your business, NAC Builders. How can people find you and how can people say, hey, I want to work with Dave Parrish?
Well, NACBuilders.com is my website, which I've learned to build myself. That's another one. And I did it in Wix. And so all you people that are professional website builders that say can ever get ranked using Wix, come look at my website. I tried doing it in WordPress, actually, because that's what everyone said, you got to do in WordPress. I couldn't figure WordPress out, and I finally gave up. And I went and did it in Wix. My YouTube channel, just search for NAC. The easiest way, search for NAC database. You'll see my pretty face all over.
And what kind of projects do you do? Like, like anything, or do you do kind of a special kind of a niche of projects?
I don't have a niche, but I do a lot of inventory apps, membership tracking apps. Those are two I do a lot of, but definitely not a niche. Any sort of process, you know, I do a thing where I just did a fairly small one where it's a school and they need to track when a student arrives late and when a student leaves early for any reason. And it's a nice, slick little app. I just did a project for the state of Massachusetts, has a division of suicide prevention that gives money to some 30 agencies around the state that do things related to preventing suicide. And they need to track what all these funds are being used for. And they were doing it with spreadsheets, sending a spreadsheet every month to every one of those agents and fill it out. And we did a really, really cool app that really engaged some of NAC's nice page ruled hide show features, but I won't get into that. There's a YouTube video if you want to see the details on it. I like to have a mix of good size projects that are complicated, have a few of those going on at one time, but not too many. And then a mix of training and support. Now, after doing this for several years, you have past clients that always need something. So I'm calling that support. And then I get lots of clients from wherever, YouTube or Google, that just need help. They're trying it, they can't, and I help them get over a hump. They buy a chunk of my time. I like having a mix of all those. If you have too many of these big complicated projects, you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're stressed. The training and support are a lot less stressful, but they're actually a lot of fun too. You solve stuff right on a screen meeting like we're having here, have a couple of virtual high fives, then they schedule another one with you. Which another tool, by the way, is Calendly. If you're not using that or something comparable, you're way behind. That makes things so easy scheduling for you. I just look at my calendar. Someone scheduled a time with me.
Yeah, it cuts down and cuts down a lot of wasted time and back and forth via email.
Yeah.
Well, cool, Dave. Thank you for being with me. Any last words before we jump off of here?
No, I appreciate. I love the, as I mentioned, the community and the platform and the career I have in it right now. So I'm a happy dude.
Cool. Well, enjoy Mexico and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Bye.